So unified computing, communication. So let us understand what unified communication is all about. So unified, it's a term which unifies the communication across the different channels. So you can see from the diagram that there is a common communication strategy which spreads across, say, something like a telephone line to a video conferencing, to audio conferencing, to an entire collaboration solution. It spreads through the mobility network, that is your phones, your presence, that is the chat, the messenger, the business communication applications, the email, the social apps, voicemail. So everything combined together, it's called as a collaborative solution, and it's called as unified communication. So as I said, multiple aspects to cater to. And this gives a very good user experience to the employees. It helps them to increase their productivity. So just imagine the situation, right? And this is a real life thing that we see. Cisco is a company which is, I think, one of the leaders in business communication and unified communication. So what really happens is that, say you have your email. Email is through Microsoft Exchange, right? So you have the Microsoft Outlook, which is installed in your machine. In case of a unified communication, you have the IP telephony, that is a IP phone. Then you have the video conferencing. So these are the video conferencing endpoints. Then there are collaboration solutions. So say something like a Jabber, a instant messenger. And then there are social apps which can be integrated, and then the same IP phone can also be used to trigger your mobility network in place. So everything can be linked together. So unified communications, IP protocol, that is the internet protocol, IP telephony has become a critical part of unified communication. And more often than not, unified communication is kind of misinterpreted as IP telephony, but it's not the case. So IP telephony just caters to the voice piece of it, but then unified communication covers the entire gamut, as we saw in the previous slide. So IP telephony has become a critical part of unified communications as enterprises move on from the traditional phone service and use the internet to deliver the voice, fax, or other forms of communication. IP telephony takes advantage of the internet to deliver the phone calls. Although IP telephony and the voice over IP can be used interchangeably, VoIP is technically a subset of IP telephony. We discussed the voice technologies when we were discussing the networks, remember? So the network enterprise networks, when we were discussing, we discussed VoIP as a sub-function, and I mentioned that there should be something like QoS, that is a quality of service, in place so that the voice gets a higher priority. So IPT takes advantage of internet to deliver the phone calls, while VoIP is the transport medium used to manage the voice communications over IP. The presence technology, so again, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you the different meaningful insights in the different components that are involved in unified communication. So presence technology makes it possible to locate and identify a computing device when the user connects to the network, regardless of the device's location. It also allows users to monitor the availability or state of any other user, adding the ease and convenience to unified communication. Now, you will tell me, give me a use case for it. So just imagine a situation where all the employees are connected across a common collaboration platform, a unified communication platform. And people say, there are some people in India, some people in Bombay, some people in Bangalore, some in Delhi. So let us restrict ourselves to a company which is based in India. Now, if there is some particular issue with, say, a technical issue with a manufacturing setup. Now, what a person can do is either the person can pick up a call and then see if the person is available, not available, and so on. But in case of presence, what you can do is you'll just be able to see whether the person is online or offline, whether he's on leave, he's in a meeting, he's in a conference, is he presenting something, right? So it's as simple to say that, you know, in WhatsApp you could see who are the users that are online, right? But that's about it. But in case of presence, you can actually see whether the person is there online, offline, is he attending a meeting, as I said, is he presenting something. So there could be different status messages that could be sent. Basis that, you could have something called as a skill-based routing. Now, you could have some kind of algorithms in place saying that and create work groups in those particular applications. So say if there are five people who are trained on machine learning, right? And if there is some critical need where I need to speak to a skilled resources of from the machine learning team, if person one doesn't seem to be there, then probably the next person should be aligned. So that is the skill-based routing that I was talking about. So it could be linked with the entire unified communication platform. The next is unified messaging. Now, the term unified messaging has been derived from, unified communication was ultimately derived from unified messaging. So what happens is you can have a single mailbox, right? So the mailbox, the primary purpose is to have your emails, correct? But then in case if you have a IP telephony system also included as a part of your communication strategy, then what can happen is that suppose if you miss a call, be it on your landline phone or on your mobile phone, then you could have a voice message which could be sent as a voice text to your email, right? How cool is that? Correct. So all your voicemail, all your email, fax, instant messengers, everything could be part of your single window, and that gives you a unified view. So again, getting to that example of the skill-based routing. So if the person was not on his desk and you had pinged him, so then probably he will receive an alert on his conversation list in the email, saying that, okay, this person was trying to reach you at so-and-so hour, and probably you can, you know, start the chat. In fact, now things have become so superior that you can actually, you know, chat even on a mobile phone and do the vice versa. So the moment you are close to your desk, you can transfer the phone from your mobile device to the landline phone or vice versa, right? So this is the power of unified communication. Unified messaging incorporates messaging services like the fax and voicemail into the single mailbox, as I said, so that the user can access it via an email or the phone. The other important component of unified communication is the conferencing. Now, there is a lot of scenario where many people need to get onto a common calling platform. So that's where you see a lot of video calling or audio calling applications gaining popularity. So there are a lot of audio calling applications where say 10 people, 20 people get onto a call. It could be for a sales review, it could be to discuss some project review, it could be for approvals, it could be just pondering over some say technical solutions. So that's a audio call. Plus, if I have to have a more immersive experience, then I could have a video call of all the important participants. So say if I need to discuss say the monthly sales reviews with all the sales head, then always a face-to-face interaction is better. So that's where the video conferencing comes into picture. Nowadays, what is gaining more popularity are the internet-based or the web-based video conferencing. So the video conferencing that I spoke about earlier was the device-based video conferencing, which would use the internet and the private connectivity. But now, since these technologies are slowly moving on to the cloud, there are a lot of platforms that are hosted on the cloud. So say something like a WebEx, something like Zoom meetings, right? So these are platforms where people could interact using video, but then these platforms are placed on the cloud. So you don't have to invest onto any of the on-premise technologies, but then you can use the cloud. And unified communication as a technology can integrate everything onto a common platform. Now you will tell me how. right? So just imagine a situation, if I am a remote user, so say if I am a sales representative, I am on the field, so I obviously don't have access to a dedicated video conferencing equipment, so I could just log on to the conferencing bridge from my mobile phone, and I would then give you my inputs. Then there could be my sales head who could be sitting in the office and who would be connecting to the same bridge or the video conferencing platform through his dedicated video conferencing equipment, which is on his table. Then there could be say 10 different people who are in a conference room, and you know they are looking at a big screen of video conferencing. Then there could be some people who have just called in through say audio, right? So everything is integrated. So that's the immersive experience of unified communication that I was talking about. So having looked at the different components, let us look at a typical unified communication architecture. So this is architecture, old architecture that I've picked up from the Cisco design. So what it has is there is a communication manager. So that is basically the heart of every unified communication system. So it includes the software which helps to control the different elements, the video conferencing, the audio conferencing, the IM, presence, chat, etc., etc. So there is something called as the unified presence server. So the presence server helps to detect the presence and give the presence functionality, who is online, offline. There is a Microsoft OCS client. So as I said, this also can be integrated with your email, right? So this is the same client which is used for integration with the email. Then there is Cisco Unified Communication IP Telephony. So that's where you connect your IP telephones to. There you see a lot of video endpoints also connected. So the dedicated video and conferencing endpoints are connected. And on the top you see there's something round which is called as a gateway. Now what is a gateway? A gateway is a device which is used to communicate to the outside world. Now in case of a voice, there are basically two different technologies which are used to communicate. So one is a PRI, that is a primary rate interface. So you take this connectivity from the provider, it could be MTNL, it could be any of the private providers. So there is a T1 E1 terminology, and this is basically a PRI that fits into a voice gateway. The other is a SIP technology, or a session initiation protocol. So that's again one of the technologies through which the voice, that is the analog, can be converted into digital and then sent across. So that is the functionality of a voice gateway. So just a very high level overview of what a unified communication architecture is all about. But the remember the first diagram that I showed, the different aspects of unified communication, email, chat, presence, IP telephony. So I think everything included together forms the unified communication platform. Great. Now let us have a look at the network security elements. So because security is a key essence in any enterprise solution, so let us look at network security in more detail. So network security refers to any activity that is designed to protect your network. So we spoke about firewalls some time back. So again, firewalls are part of the network security. Specifically, these activities protect the usability, reliability, integrity, and safety of the entire network and the data. So network security, it encompasses everything. So basically it could reside at your perimeter to protect say your data in your data center, or it could reside in your perimeter to protect the data in a campus, the user data, or it could be within the user segment as well. So say for example something like a DLP solution, a data loss prevention system, and I'll talk about them in the subsequent slides. So the effective network security targets a variety of threats and stops them from entering or spreading in the network. So the perimeter level firewall, it stops the attacks coming from outside, and also it stops them from spreading in the network. So, the most common security threats over the internet that we see are the virus, the worms, and the Trojan horses. So, worms, viruses, and Trojan horses, they are kind of a malware. And these malware, either they can come from the internet, they can come from a USB device, or it could be transferred through an email. So there are different ways in which they can enter the system. Spyware, adware. So again, if you visit few sites, then and you click on to things which are not to be, then these adwares automatically get downloaded onto your machine, and they keep on popping ads. So if you've looked at, say, any of the screensaver websites, so what happens is there are a lot of plugins that get installed in your browser, and then they keep pushing the ads sometime or the other. So these are the adwares. Then there is something called as the day zero attack. Now, what is a day zero attack? So if there is a functionality, right, say there is a Windows operating system, and if there is some kind of a bug in the recent patch that they have released, and if hackers kind of exploit that patch and launch an attack, that is called as a day zero attack, right? Now, zero day attacks are very difficult to tackle because there is absolutely no remedy to that. So these have to be dealt with caution. There could be, you know, new patches that could be released for that. So these are typically the day zero attacks, which people would actually not know how the attack originated. Then there are hacker attacks, so someone who is actually hacking into the system. Then it's denial of service. We spoke about DOS attacks, or the distributed denial of service attack. There is identity theft, that is, there is data interpretation and theft, so a lot of data thefts. So a few of the common security elements, so let us understand them, and let us understand what is the functionality of each device. So the first is firewall, right? You would have heard a lot about firewalls. You would have heard me talking about firewall a lot. We discussed firewall in the networking section. So firewall is basically a device that resides at the perimeter of the network, and it prevents the outside attacks from happening. So it is basically a port level blocking device, and there are different software architectures involved in a firewall. So there could be something like a URL filtering, that is a URL filtering, basically it blocks the different websites. It could be through different categorization. So say I would want to block the gaming sites, I would want to block the gambling sites, and so on. So that's URL filtering. There could be anti-spyware, anti-malware. So it's the anti-X features that a firewall could have. Then there is IPS, that is the intrusion prevention system. So intrusion prevention, it happens when say there are a lot of attacks that are happening from outside. So these attacks, they typically have a different behavior through which they basically attack the system. So these behaviors are called as signatures. So a lot of signature based attacks can be mitigated through IPS, that is an intrusion prevention system. Then there is something called as spyware, we already discussed. There is something called as sniffer. Now, what is a sniffer? So sniffer, as the name suggests, it actually sniffs what is there in the network. So it sniffs the information from the packet, and then you know, uses this information to for any malicious use. There is a host based intrusion detection and prevention system. So one is a network based intrusion prevention system, so that is the NIPS, which is at the perimeter, and then there is a host based. So say if I am a client, then at my machine or at my laptop, I would have a host based detection system. Then there are many other systems in place. So I mentioned something like DLP, that is a data leak prevention. So what happens in a DLP scenario is that I have the DLP agent on my machine, on And this DLP has a lot of different policies configured. So DLP, as the name suggests, there should be no data loss. Now it could be intentional or unintentional. So what happens is, suppose if I want to say forward a file, a confidential file which is there on my laptop, but then if I want to say forward it to a Gmail, then a DLP system prevents me from doing that. DLP system also blocks all the USB accesses on my particular machine, so that, you know, I cannot send out that data illegally. DLP system will prevent me from taking a screenshot on my system and then, you know, later on sending that to any other systems such as that. So that is a DLP system for you. Then there is something called as a web application firewall. So this WAF, or the web application firewall, is a firewall which is designed for protecting the web applications. So unlike a normal firewall, so this is basically a network based firewall which protects the perimeter boundary of the network. The web application firewall is a firewall which is designed to protect the web applications. So I hope you would have understood a bit about network security, what are the different elements, what are the different threats that are there, right? And we also saw a bit of the network security devices that should be installed in the network so as to have the proper security in place.